Welcome to Life Community Church. We are a lively, growing church in the heart of Royal Leamington Spa. We trust that this message will encourage you and help you to live a life full of purpose as God intended.
Good morning, church. Lovely. Thank you very much, Peter. That's lovely. Good. Amen. Yeah. That's much better. Thank you. This morning we are taking part two of Sermon in the Psalms. The first one was really good. How many of you agree with me? Yes. Praise God. So this morning we're going to go into part two of Sermon in the Psalms. So we're going to run very quickly. Shall we all please stand as we read God's word together? Because this is very helpful. It gets all of us engaged and involved in what God is doing. Shall we? Okay, let's read Psalm 8. 1, 2, go. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the path of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. We pray, Holy Spirit, that as we navigate your word, that you speak to our heart. Lord, open our eyes to see what you want us to see today, that we will walk out of church, walking in the light of your word, becoming whom you have made us to be in Christ Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and the church said, amen. Please be seated. You know, when we were in the last part of This Is Us, knowing God. Faith begins with knowing God. If you don't know God and whom he is, your coming to church could just be an addition, not a fellowship and a relationship. So until you know whom God is, your Christianity, your walk with Jesus will not attain that level that God wants you to attain. And not only that, you will not enjoy the things that God have created for you to enjoy. So knowing God is important in our relationship with him. And we begin to see, when you read him, he reveals to us part time. Because in reality, God is indescribable. You cannot fathom how big our God is. You cannot tell how faithful he is, except by the things you have seen and have experienced. So God is indescribable in the totality of him. You cannot describe him. But we saw that as we go through life, we experience things. We begin to know God. The same way in the Bible, God revealed himself as people come in close relationship with him. A classic example is in Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, God was speaking to Moses. In verse 2, we see a word like this come up. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. You see, God reveals himself part time based on what he wants you to know.
Even among the written word, you could have read some things and you never know that thing was there. Until God opens your eyes to see that this is here for you at this moment. So we get to know him. That's why the Bible says we know in part. We know in part. As you journey, you begin to know whom God is. So he said to Moses, I did not reveal myself to Abraham. Even though Abraham was my, or is my friend, he didn't get to know me as the Lord. It's different. Knowing God as the Almighty. He created all things. Obviously, we know that. He's the Most High. Of course, we know he's very high. But the Lord, I did not show myself to him. I didn't let him know that I own everything, that I'm in charge. The Lord. And he was speaking to Moses because he wanted Moses to know that no matter how hard in Pharaoh was, that he is the Lord. He's in charge, not Pharaoh. Not Pharaoh. So we need to know God because the more we know him, the more our faith begins to grow. So if you read through the Bible, you begin to see God revealing himself to different people at different times. For example, to Abraham, he is the God Almighty, the Most High God, the God that provides, Jehovah Jireh. That was him, that's God to Abraham. To Hagar, he is the God who sees. To Moses, he is the Lord, the I Am, the Lord of victory. He is our healer. To Samuel, he is our helper. He is the Lord of hosts. To Gideon, he is our peace. To Israel, he is our sanctifier. To David, he is my shepherd. To Daniel, he is eternal sovereign. To me, he's a faithful God. To me, he's my sustainer. To me, he's the God who leads me in all the way. To me, God is the Most High. So who is God to you? What have you seen in your journey with God that you can beat your chest and say, I know this is God? What is it in your life? We must move from the place of religion to a place of personal relationship where we begin to know God, not by the stories our fathers told us, not by the preaching of a pastor, but by your personal experience of the person of God. Knowing God, faith begins with knowing God. Because whatever God reveals to you, there is no devil that can take it away from you. I've gone through some stuff in life. My confidence, if you hear me speak, is not in the things that the world can, I mean, what can happen in the world. It's by, it's as a result of my experience, of what God has done, how he has brought me out of obscurity into his light. So that personal experience strengthens my relationship with him. So, beloved, today is a call for us to crave to know God more. Crave to know him. You don't know God because that makes God feel good. You know God because it strengthens your faith. It makes your faith come aglow. We need to know God. We need to labor to know him. The closer we are to God, the better our life be. I was listening to Benny Hinn, I think it was last week or so. He said he was in a vision. He was praying and he got into a vision. And Jesus appeared to him on the other side of the wall. Immediately, he saw himself very crippled. He couldn't move an inch. And Jesus was standing afar from him by the other side of the room. And as he tried to move, he started regaining strength. As he moved closer, he noticed Jesus was moving every time he moved. But what happened was, the more he moved closer to Jesus, the more strength he got. And the more he became healed until he embraced Jesus and the light of Jesus engulfed him. That's our journey. It just immediately occurred to me. The farther you are away from God, the more crippled life becomes to you. But the closer you become to God, woo, glory to God. It doesn't matter what actually happened in the outside. You begin to see the glory, the power of God in your life, in everything you do. So there, my encouragement to us this morning, do everything in your power to get closer to God, to know whom God is in your day-to-day life. That's the first thing. Now let's move on. Number two, faith grows by knowing who you are. It begins by knowing God. But if that faith must grow, It must grow on the platform of the revelation of whom you are in Christ. Because if you don't know whom you are in Christ, the devil will make mess of your life. You know, sometimes you hear people say words like, where is God that all these things are happening to me? And I mean, I've seen a lot of Christians. When I was in Spain, I had this old lady, very faithful woman. She told me that her daughter stopped going to church because the husband fell in the bath, hit his head on the bathtub, and sadly, he died, which was very sad. And he felt disappointed in God. And that was the end of her faith. But we need to know that the things that happen around us are not actually the orchestration of God. They are the things we need to do something about. Let me take us through the scripture first. In verse 3, we saw David saying words like, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him?" In other words, what is man that your mind is full of him? What is man that you care so much about him? What is man that you can't just let him go? What is man? This excites me a lot. To know that God is mindful of me. Oh, glory to God. This excites me. Wherever I am, no matter how terrible things are, God is just asking me to tell you that his mind is full of you. He's mindful of you. He's mindful of you. What is man that you are mindful of him? He went ahead to say, "And the son of man that you have visited him. In other words, God is always in close connection with you. It doesn't matter how you feel. In fact, your feeling is the kingdom of God. Because we don't live by our feeling. We live by his word. Who is the son of man that you visit him?" In fact, if you look at the Greek translation, now, when you read that, it appears that God is talking about angels. But the word angels here is translated Elohim. Who is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than Elohim. In other words, in the scheme of things, after God is you. The most powerful thing on earth after God is you. It's not devil. It's you. Who is the son of man that you are mindful of him? He said you have made him a little lower than the angels. That is Elohim. If you read other translations, for example, I don't know if anyone has NLT here. Is actually translated as God. So, I just want to let you know that I'm not making it up. You are next in command. He said, "For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and with honor." In other words, you have surrounded him. You have encircled him. You have clothed him with glory. The word glory is kabod. Kabod. And when I was studying and looking at the full meaning of glory, I saw a multidimensional meaning of glory. The word glory, kabod, means glorious, means splendid, means dignity, and it also means wealth. Which means God has surrounded you with glory, with dignity, with wealth. In fact, if you want to know this more and you start to look deep into the scriptures, you see how the word glory was interchangeably used for all this I have just mentioned. For example, when the sons of Laban complained against Jacob, what did they say? They said, "Jacob has taken over our father's glory." What were they talking about? Our father's wealth. When Moses wanted to make, when the children of Israel murmured against Moses that they needed food in the wilderness, what did Moses say to them? He said, tomorrow morning, you will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. So the glory of God is not only the beauty of God, it also involves the abundance that God has made. In other words, God has clothed us with his glory, with his splendor, with his wealth. So we are surrounded. And he went on to say, with glory and with honor. On the word honor and glory, honor is hadar, but it's not quite different from glory. If you look at the meaning, if you extray it, it also means glory. So it was a double emphasis that we have been crowned with glory and with honor. Someone say after me, I have been crowned with glory and honor. Oh no, that doesn't sound like a believing word. Say it again. I have been crowned with glory and honor. Amen. That's whom you are. You have been crowned with glory and with honor. You have made him, verse 6, to have dominion over the works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beast of the field, the birds of the earth, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. You see, God began to extray his power that he has placed in us. And he said, he has given him dominion. Say, I have dominion. Say, I have dominion. And this was lifted from Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back quickly to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the earth, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created them. Then God did what? God did what? Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the earth, and over everything that moves on the earth. Say, I am blessed. I want to say it as if you mean it. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am fruitful. I multiply. I have dominion. This is whom you are. This is a picture of the reality of your life. You are blessed. The first thing God said when he made man is, you are blessed. He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. If you are doing something in your life today that doesn't appear to be multiplying, in the name of Jesus, I speak multiplicity into that thing in the name of Jesus. Because you have been made to multiply. That's whom God made you to be. Knowing whom you are causes your faith to grow. And he said, and have dominion. Now, if you want to know how to work a thing, you look at the origin of that thing and how it was worked. Okay? Now, let's quickly look at how did Adam had dominion? Because he was given dominion. If we understood how Adam had dominion, it might help us to start to walk in dominion. Church, are you with me? All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. It's on the screen. It said, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the earth and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave name to all the cattle, to the birds of the earth, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Now you look at, when God created everything, he brought them to Adam. But did you notice that God didn't tell Adam what to do with them? Hey, church. Did you notice that God didn't tell Adam exactly what to do with them? But Adam did something. What did he do? He named them. Bible says, whatever. Oh, God, you say, no, Adam, that should have been an elephant, not a goat. No. Whatever Adam gave them, that was their name till now. What are you doing with the things that are happening around you? Are you naming them? Or if you are naming them, which name are you giving to them? Because whatever you name it, that is what it's going to be. Oh, I cannot be promoted in this job. You will not be promoted. Because that is the name you are giving to it. Whatever Adam gave them, that was their name, the date. He wasn't complaining about things, even though they were everywhere. But he was speaking to things. He spoke to the tree and it died from the roots. He spoke to the leper and they got healed. Did you know Jesus was not even actually praying? He was just speaking. When he needed to feed 5,000 people, he didn't say, oh God, these people are so many. We don't know what to do here. Maybe we send them away or I run away secretly so that nobody can know where I am. No. He spoke. He took what was available and spoke to it. So what are you speaking into your life? What are you speaking into your life? I want you to think about that. Not only Jesus, even the disciples, when they got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, they started speaking. Peter spoke once, 3,000 people got saved. They were going to the temple. They saw a man crippled. Did you know that they were not praying? They didn't pray for that man. What did they do? They spoke. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Because when you are saved and you've got the Holy Ghost, your mouth is empowered. It's not just to eat spaghetti. And no. All that are good. Amen. It's not just to eat. It's not for ice cream. No. They are good, but the most important thing you can do with your mouth is to speak words into your life. To speak words into your home. To speak words into your job. Into everything that you do. I am blessed. It doesn't matter how I feel. I am blessed. It doesn't matter the opposition. I am blessed. It doesn't matter how many people are here now. This is a mega church. LCC is a mega church. Every family in Leamington is coming to this place. Speaking the word. Speaking the word. And Jesus said Mark 11 verse 23. He said, whatever you say, whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and shall believe that which he have said, shall have whatever he says. Can you imagine why you are having what you are having? Think about it. Because you have dominion. You have been given dominion. That is whom you are. How are you using that dominion power? Are you speaking words of faith or words of fear? Which one are you speaking? Which one are you speaking? We need to learn to. In fact, Jesus said, whoever believes in me shall be baptized and they shall speak in new tongues. Sometimes we only think that new tongues mean, shada balageda bashata. That is part of it. New tongue is you talking right. New tongues. When you become saved, it's not about what you feel, it's about what you know. Because it's what you say that God does. Yes, it's obvious that I just recovered from cough, but I don't have cough. I am healed of cough. It may be that you want to, your car is giving you problem, you want to buy a new one, and you don't have the money. You can begin to speak, I have a new car. A new car comes to me. I am blessed. My car will not stop me on the road another day. Because the greatest thing the devil is doing to us as a church is keeping our mouth shut. Because you know, the quieter you are, the more he gains the upper hand. That's why we are so quiet. Oh, we feel very gentle and simple. Oh my goodness, that brother is gentle. No! Keep speaking. Keep speaking. Don't speak what you want to see, not what is happening to you. That is the speaking of faith. Speaking what you want to see, not what is going on in your life. Whether your children are listening to you or not, they are blessed. Whether your wife is a good one or not, or your husband, my husband is blessed. My wife is blessed. My wife is a virtuous woman. My husband is a man of valor. Speak good words, the things you want to see. And young people, listen. Speak into your future. And those of you that have just gotten, that are going to uni, you need this. You need this. Listen very carefully. Your life cannot be dependent on the economy of the United Kingdom. Your life should be dependent on the word of God. It is time to start declaring, I go to that uni and prosper. In that university, I get every grade I need to be whom God has made me to be. I get out of school and walk into my divine destiny. You need to start now. Now, not tomorrow. Not next year. Not in your final year. It works. It works. You may never have seen me in life if not the words I spoke many years ago. I didn't even have an international passport when I started saying I'm going to be in the United Kingdom. I haven't even started my uni then. For some reason, I just wanted to be in the United Kingdom. I don't know. I just wanted to be in the United Kingdom. And I started speaking. Oh, I'm going to the UK. By the time I got to school, I was speaking the word. Oh, I have scholarship. In fact, my first scholarship in school, young people, listen, if you don't speak into your life, life will give you whatever it can offer. But you can use your tongue to direct the path in which your life travels. You can. So I got to school. And I applied for this scholarship. The day I was taking the application, I was doing the application, and someone saw me. What are you doing? I said, I'm applying for this scholarship. He said, don't worry. Nigeria is corrupt. They've already written the name of those they will give it to. I said, not me. My name will be in that place. And I went, I submitted the application. Few months later, I got it. I kept speaking the word. I kept speaking the word. I got another one. If I remember then, a lot of people were, oh my God, that guy, he's smart, he knows how to get all the scholarship. But one guy came to me and said, how do you do it? And I showed him how I did it. And few months later, an opening came. The guy did exactly what I was doing and he got it. Today, he's in the U.S. The laws are the same everywhere. It's a universal spiritual law. If you keep speaking into your life now, it will begin to create a pathway because the heavens respond to the words from your mouth. Little children, you are important to God. In verse 2, you said, David said, out of the mouth of babe and nursing the infant, you have ordained strength because of your enemy. You are special to God. Young children, can you say this after me? I am special to God. Hey, young people, can you all please stand? Every young person here, please stand. Dave, you are not. Not Dave, not. Blessing. No, now. Say that. Okay. All right, can you say after me? I am blessed. I am special. I am light in my word. I am the salt of the earth. Everywhere I go, I shine like a star. Amen. Please say it. Let's put our hands together for our little one. And parents, please, it doesn't matter how your children behave. Speak what you want to see in their life. Speak what you want to see. I mean, I'm amazed with our vocabulary in this country. My friend is not here today. One day we were in camp and was a little monkey. Was talking to him. I said, stop, your child cannot be a little monkey. He is made in the image of God. I know sometimes we say it's play, but in the kingdom, there is really no play. You have to be careful. In fact, somebody said, when you are making an example, and say even in your example, let it be that your example is that I'm blessed. Okay? We have to take it seriously. In Numbers 14, when the children of Israel had murmured a lot, God said to them, whatever I hear you say to my ear, that I will do to you. Simple. It's the last one I want to share before we close today. I think we've said quite a lot that you can take home with. You have enough assignment now to do. Go home and start speaking in accordance to the dominion power that God has given to you. Because he has crowned you with glory and honor. He has made you to have dominion over everything that he has created. So live that dominion life by speaking into your life, into the life of your children, into your family, into your business, into your job, into your community. That in limited space, we are having more safe people than the unbelievers. Start speaking it. I will begin to say it. It will begin to happen. In the name of Jesus. The last word I want to share. Faith have come to know how beautiful he is. And David said, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Verse 9. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. David, after reflecting on the magnificent power of God and his position, whom God had made him to be, it led him to give God praise. It led him to worshiping God. Now that you have known that you are not bound by the things that happen around you, your life is not molded. I know whom he is. I know who I am in him. So I'm not ashamed to lift my voice. I'm not ashamed to raise my hands, even in the city square, to say, Lord, you are holy. Lord, you are righteous. How often do you worship? When you know whom you are, worship is not about time. When you know whom you are, worship is not about occasion serves you. No, every time, every moment, you have no time. You have no special place. You worship God anyway. You in your car, you are worshiping. On the street, you are worshiping. In your house, you are worshiping. So faith that begins with God and grows with knowing you must lead you to worshiping the one and the only living God, the one who made us, the one who provides for us. And beloved, as I end today, it all starts by knowing Jesus. You have no dominion, because that dominion we said was sold to Satan in Genesis chapter 3. The only dominion we have is in Christ. Because when Jesus came, the Bible says he destroyed Satan and took that power. And he said in Matthew 28, all powers in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And he has given us that power back. He has given us that power back. So if you are not saved, I don't mean if you are not coming to church. Because you can come to church, yet you are not saved. Because you cannot educate the flesh into spirituality. No. Salvation is the starting point. No matter how much you are taught, if you are not saved, you can never be spiritual. And if you are not spiritual, you cannot have dominion. So if you are here this morning, whether in this auditorium or you are worshiping with us online today, and you have taken the patience to listen to me for these few minutes, I want to invite you to accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. And if you are in that category, please note, I am saying this again. You cannot educate the flesh into spirituality. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, it doesn't matter how much we can, excuse me, it doesn't matter how much we have to say here, it will not make you spiritual. You have to be born again. You have to be born again. And if you are that person, I just want you to this morning to say these words after me. And church, I want us to help every individual this morning that want to give their life to Jesus. And say, dear God. And let's say it again. Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for my sins. I believe he died, was buried, and rose again. I repent of my sins, and I receive your forgiveness. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. So today, I hand control of my life over to you and decide to live for you. Please help me. Please help my life to make a difference. Amen. Church, shall we all please stand? We're going to take some declarations this morning. Because when we teach something like this, we go home and just forget. And I want us to start it right from here. And please, can I ask you that don't go out of your house every day without saying a word, without speaking into your day. In Psalm 19, we saw that day unto day utters speech. In other words, every day that you see speaks. If you are not careful, you might inherit what the devil has spoken into the day. So if you speak, your words take precedence over whatever have been spoken into the day. So today I just want to say, I am blessed. I have dominion. Everywhere I go, I shine as light. Because the blessing of God is on my life, it creates opportunities to enjoy everything that God has made for me to enjoy. And in Christ Jesus, I live a victorious life. Amen. God bless you, church.